Again, good evening. A little bit of the history of how this happened. When my daughter-in-law, Samantha, moved here years ago, she had been a student at Global, the School of Supernatural Ministry, and they have all these teachers that come through over the two-year period. And she said, my favorite one was Dan Moeller, because he talks about grace and he talks about being in Christ. And so she was like, so over the years we've talked off and on, we need to try to get him to come. And so I just wrote a letter sometime back, and then I got a letter from the staff, and it sounded like a letter that Dan gets all these invitations, we really appreciate you asking, but, you know, I thought, that's okay, well, we tried. And a few weeks later, he contacted me, and that's how God opened the door for this to happen. Those of you who are wondering when do we take up the offering, one of the things Dan explained, I've known a little bit about him this way, that he said that I don't do offerings, I don't take up offerings. And I thought, well, we're probably going to try. It just seems, and yeah, he's going no. So we'll go. He says no. So we'll approach it again tomorrow. I'll keep asking him. We can try. One of the things I really appreciate about that, I think that I would assume this is part of it, is that his heart doesn't want to be influenced by how big a church is. He never asked me how large your church is or how big the offering is going to be. And I really am grateful for that, because I was kind of schooled and weaned on people like George Mueller and people like that who just trusted the Lord with that kind of stuff. And so that was one of the things about him that I was drawn to over the years in terms of if we could make that happen. And God did it the way God does it without anybody trying. And so that's the way it works when you're in Christ. Amen. Tomorrow the schedule is at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then again at 2:30 in the afternoon. You can come over there for lunch. There won't be any food for you, but you're welcome to go over there and pray that God will provide somehow. George Mueller would do that, so you could go do that too. And then Sunday morning at 10. So we welcome all of you. I know there's a bunch of folks here from Blue Jean, and welcome to our parish. The word parish simply means a part of the whole. And so we're just a part of the whole. And so we're just grateful that you're here and to be a part of what God's doing, what God's going to do tonight and tomorrow. Anything I left out? Y'all? That's such a great word. It's so covers. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2, where Paul refers himself as a man in Christ. That was his self-consciousness. And so I just want us to welcome a man in Christ. Come, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Oh, you don't have to jump up there. Thank you. Yeah, please sit down. That's good. Thank you so much. Let me explain real quick without going into detail. The whole offering thing, I understand the beauty of giving, and it's scriptural to give and sow. I know people say to me, well, the labor's worthy of his hire. Nobody hired me. I'm here because I want to be. I could be a lot of places. I'm here because I want to be. The reality is I attend about 3-5% of my invites. That's the reality. I never ask about a size of a church. There's something beautiful and clean in nowadays Christianity coming in with nothing attached, but I'm just here because I want to be. So I never ask for an honorarium. I get my plane tickets. People empower me. They have to find out how to sow into me. There's nothing out there to partner with me. You can't find it. It's very rare. Apparently, I do things different. Pastors say, I've never met anybody quite like you. I'm just hoping they met Jesus. So this isn't a business. It's not my way of living. I'm not here for you to feed my family. I'm here because I believe the gospel. And I actually believe that everybody matters and everybody's important. That Jesus died for all. Amen?
Amen.
So if this gospel's true and it transformed my life, and somebody like Bishop Chuck's going to let me have a microphone and stand in his pulpit, which I don't take lightly, then I'm going to preach and share those things that I believe that shared my life, and that's my reward. Are you following me? So last year, about 70% of the churches I went to, I realized I received no offering. And I paid my own way to get there. So it cost me to go to churches. And that just doesn't sound normal today, because everybody's looking to make a profit. I'm looking to multiply the kingdom. And God has placed people in my life that sow into me and take care of me. So there's food on my table. I don't have a ton of clothes. I'm not a real good dresser. People wish I'd dress better. Some people tell me that. But I'm relaxed and I'm comfortable. I'm pretty content in my life. I read where Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm not needy. I'm pretty low maintenance. I don't think I'll put a lot of pressure on the family hosting me. We hit it off kind of well anyway, didn't we, buddy? His wife's a little nervous. We have so many things in common. Talk about hunting or fishing down the road, aren't we? She's like, oh, Jesus. I was reading something during worship. It came on my heart. The reason we do these kind of services. Well, actually, you know, in your Bible, if you don't, you can look there, or I'm turning there, but I'm in Proverbs. It's just real simple. I'm not going to stay here long. But, you know, in Hebrews, it says the reason we don't forsake our assembling of ourselves together, the reason we should continue to gather together, is in order to stir one another in love and good works. Your Christian life was always intended to be an outward expression, not just a blessing from God, not just protection, provision. A lot of people, when they pursue God, it's just for what He can do for them, instead of how they can be transformed and become more like Him and more like He intended us to be. Life in the Spirit of God is very real. Living life in the truth is very real. Christianity is supposed to be this way. It's walking in the light as He's in the light, not somewhat like He's in the light. Christianity is walking in the light as He's in the light, not somewhat like He's in the light. Yes. Ephesians 5:1 says, walk in love as dear children. As dear children, go ahead and walk in love just as He loved, not somewhat like He loved. That's exciting. I'm staying as calm as I can for you because I don't know you yet. I'm doing really good right now. I am super calm for what I'm saying. I should be cartwheeling right now. Like He made us for His image. If you look in Genesis, He didn't just make man. Man's not happenstance. Man's intentional. With purpose and identity and destiny. We live our life outside of why we're here. That's why it's dry and a grind and hard, and people don't even want to live it and deal with it. And life is a bleep and a blip and a blank. No, life is a gift, and you get one go around. This is a dressing room for that day when you stand before Him. Like, what an honor to have life, and a bigger honor to have life in Christ Jesus. Amen. To where it's restored back to the reason I'm here. People are dry in life. People that go to church regular, serve a lot in church, are dry. They're struggling. They get misunderstanding. And that's why I'm just going to read this little thing and we'll just spring off of it. And hopefully tonight, there's a reason in my heart that I like being a part of these things. And it's really just to give understanding. We grew up hearing what you don't know won't hurt you. That's a flat out lie. The language we grew up with is not the language of this book. It's the way that seemeth right to a man. It's the wisdom of the world. It's the basic principles of life. What you don't know won't hurt you. That's not true. It says what you don't know is destroying you. Well, what you see is what you get. We've all heard that in our life. No, what you see, you never live by. It's always subject to change. The things unseen are eternal. Yeah? There's just stuff we grew up. There's a whole lot of phrases. I was in a recovery center a while back, and I asked the girls to start sharing phrases of things we say that they found are total opposite of the Bible. It was amazing the things they just started saying. We were homeschooled, Bishop, in a wrong home. We were trained our whole lives by a lie. And the motivation of our life was self-centeredness, self-seeking, and survival. Some of us don't want to admit it, but it's true. From the time we were born, we were trying to get by, fit in. Not one of us in this room had a clue who we were or whether we even had any value. That's why your story seems to matter so much. So if you weren't loved growing up, you weren't valued, you grew up insecure, you had identity crisis, you had a hurt heart or a hard heart. Why? Because from the time you were born, you needed love, stability, support, appreciation, valued, and needed to believe that you had value. You can only find the truth of those things in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus. The truth is in Him. He's the truth. He's not a truth. He's the. Man, I found myself in Him. Changed everything about me. Changed everything about the why in my life, why I'm alive, who I am, why I live, why I woke up in the morning. Everything in my life has changed. Why? You have new life through Jesus Christ. These scriptures are on purpose. Like, old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Not some things, all things. I bet he's talking about mindset, perspective, motive. See, I found this thing right here in Proverbs. Watch this. I just read it. I didn't even know if I was supposed to share it, but I'll just share it. It just in verse 7, it says, wisdom. Let me back up to verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. There's an exclamation point behind both of them. That doesn't sound like what you don't know won't hurt you. Yeah? Do you ever hear this one? Well, if I were you, that'd be great if it would happen, but if I were you, I wouldn't get my... You hear that in your life? You've heard that said down here in Alabama? I thought they only said that up my way. That thing probably went all the way around. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 6 says that hope is the anchor of your soul, passes through the veil into His presence. That sounds pretty awesome. Sounds like we ought to get our hope up. Amen. And yet we were subconsciously taught by slang and fray, well, don't get your hope up. You know where it came from? It's a self-preservation statement. It's people that care about you sentimentally don't want you to get hurt. So they'd rather you not hope. Self-preservation. But in the gospel, you deny yourself anyway. And all your hope's in Him and the manifestation of Him anyway. So why are we not getting our hope up, Steve? We ought to have our hope sky high. But we heard that phrase. What you see is what you get. What you don't know won't hurt you. You made your bed. Now you got to sleep in it. Who's ever heard that one? What about the bed He made? Why don't you crawl in that one? All the sheets are clean. It sleeps right, I'm telling you. He'll be in there with you. Amen. It's amazing. I'm not sleeping in the bed I made. I've been forgiven and washed clean, and He remembers my lawless deeds no more. Why am I going to sleep in a bed that I earned when He bought me a new bed? Oh, it's better than a Sleep Number. It's the best bed you'll ever sleep in. Clean sheets. Righteous white. See, all those phrases are lies. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't forsake her, and she will preserve you. Who's he talking about? Who's her? Wisdom. She'll preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Look at verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And I love this. And in all you're getting, not some of you're getting, in all of you're getting, get understanding. That does not sound like what you don't know won't hurt you. He didn't say in some of your getting. He said, in all you're getting. He didn't even talk about provision, protection, and all the things that people pursue God for. Now, it's not wrong to believe he'll protect you. It's not wrong to believe he'll provide for you. But we spend energy trying to believe that from one that's already good, that already gave his son and put him on a cross and died while I was yet a sinner and gave his life for me. I'm not having to work very hard for provision, protection, and blessing. It's called simple childlike faith. It's just who he is. The goal of the cross isn't to get us back to a place where God protects and provides for us. It's to get us back into a place where we're in right relationship with him, where we can be one with him, where he can live in us and live through us. It's the goal of the cross. It's the goal of the cross is to restore us back to his image, back to the reason he made man in the first place. Let us make man in our image. Ladies, you might be pleased to know that you were made for the same reason. You're mentioned in Genesis 2 when he lays it out. They were both made male and female, or Genesis 1, and then in Genesis 2 he explains the process. The goal of the woman is to be found in God's image. The goal of the man is to be found in God's image. Yeah? You got image coming together with image, being fruitful and multiplying after their own kind. What are they multiplying? Image. Till the whole earth is filled with his glory. And now God has just multiplied and manifested himself through people that he made. That's incredible to me. It's a beautiful story. It's real and it's true. That's why life feels so not cool when you don't live life for the reason you're here. I can show you scripturally that self-centeredness is the biggest lie and the biggest wretch and the biggest detriment to humankind. It's not politics. It's not racism, which you all know about in this area. It's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is that every day people wake up and live for themselves when they're made for God's image. That's the biggest problem. Because the things that we think are the problem wouldn't have any platform if self-centeredness wasn't here. Amen. Why would God fill your tank to travel down a road you were never called to even be on? That's why life feels dry for people. Why would he empower you? Grace is God's empowerment. Grace isn't God's mercy. Two different things. Mercy gives you a chance when you deserve none. Grace empowers you now that you have a chance to be everything he created and intended you to be and paid for you to be. Grace is God's empowerment. It's God's ability. It comes on a man's life to empower him to be what he could never be on his own. The grace of God. Why would God empower you to live what you were never designed for? That's why people are tired, and that's why they're not enthused and excited about living. The angel said, I bring you good. The day Jesus was announced, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Where's the great joy? In the good tidings. In all you're getting, get understanding. You see what's wrong with me? I'm barely holding on talking about this. I'm being so good for you. No, you have no idea. I am so on my best behavior. No, I probably look excited to you. I feel about half bored right now, just trying to be calm. I'm doing cartwheels inside because it's good tidings of great joy. I see the tidings. The great joy is, it's an automatic. I'm not trying to be happy today. I'm not looking for joy. I don't need a spirit of joy, an anointing of joy. The truth makes you free. The message of the gospel, when it's understood, look, man was made for God's image. Man was never made for himself. You can actually see your need for the cross. You can see your need for the Savior. You can actually believe you were a sinful person and you want God to forgive you those sins. And if you could go back and change things, you would. And you can have all that right and never deal with the biggest problem in our life, and it's living for us. You can be a Christian for you and not even realize it. You're a Christian for his great name. You're a Christian for his glory. Nobody becomes a Christian scripturally for their own sake. You're not a Christian so you don't go to hell and go to heaven. You're not a Christian so you have a better life or he blesses you or fixes your marriage. Christian means little Christ-like one. You're a Christian so you can get out of darkness into the light. Stop living for anything that has to do with you and live for his great name. In that place, you're seeking first the kingdom. Does he provide? Does he protect? Does he supply? And does he bless? Yes, that's who he is. But now you're on track. That's why you deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. In this country, we've been tricked into praying a prayer to change our destination instead of believe a truth that changes our lives. Come on. We've sold this message all over this country. We're just preaching a beneficial message. Where are you going when you die? Where are you going when you die? When I head south, it's strong in the south. Once saved, always saved. 15-year-old Johnny, I remember he prayed that prayer, bless the Lord. He's 45 and he ain't went to church since. But we'll fight tooth and nail over all that theological stuff and get mad at each other instead of just surrender and live Christ, because we're so into our own well-being instead of the manifestation of Jesus. Hope we're okay on that. I'm just telling you, I'm not mad at the South. I'm just telling you. That going to heaven thing. Saved so I go to heaven? No, I'm saved so heaven comes into me. So I can walk in the light as he's in the light, because the kingdom of God is here. There's a Christ in me, the Christ, and he's the hope of the manifestation of God. Yeah? Now I got to put him on. And the only way I'm going to wear him and people will know he's on me is if I deny myself. And don't ever make this again, Steve, about me, but his great name.
Run the church.
Phew, I'm telling you. I'm getting a little freer, brother. Don't give me too much permission. Ooh, the gospel's so good. This is what changed my life. I went to church. I grew up in VBS Bible school in the summer and all this stuff you do, and your mama takes you to church and you act like you're sleeping on Sunday morning when she knows you're always up. That was me. I didn't see what I saw now. You don't have to rouse me now. You wouldn't have to say, hey, go to church. I know I am the church. Like, the Spirit of God lives inside of me. I died to everything that I was before so I can live to everything he is now in me. Born again. I did not pray a prayer to change my destination when the bell rings. Ooh, somebody needs to get that tonight. When I say that, I can feel it hitting funny. You don't pray a prayer to go to heaven. You pray a prayer to get right with God so you can live what he created you for, so you can live what he paid for. Come on, if you bought a product and it didn't do what you paid for, you'd take it back and want your money back. Thank God he ain't into returns. I created them to love. They ain't loving nobody. Look how bent up their heart is. They're serving in ministry. They got unforgiveness. They're backbiting. They're angry. They're going to bed frustrated. Look, they're even mad at each other. Well, they're created to love, and they got all kinds of issues. They got mentalities I never even thought of. I sure didn't teach them that stuff. They didn't get it from me, but look at that. And they go to church, and they want me to forgive them and bless them. This thing ain't doing nothing that I paid for. Boy, we all be glad God ain't like a basic old consumer that buys a car and it hesitates at the intersection and you right back at the lot. You told me this was a great car. I want my money, and you should give me extra money for my hassle. You know I'm onto something right now. I'm getting after you all. I'm coming up the aisle, too. It gets scary. I'll come right up and get you. I'm coming. Thank God he's not like that. I found in the Bible, Bishop Chuck, I found in the Bible that you deny yourself, that you pick up your cross, and you follow him. I found that's what born again is. I found that's what Jesus said it is. He didn't say, if I die tonight and don't know where I'm going. He said, if I die to me. He said, if I find my life, I'll lose it. But if I lose it for his name's sake, I'll find it. I don't want to live the life that he didn't give me. I want to live the life he paid for. Pick up your cross. What's that mean? That means never let sin against you produce sin in you. Don't repay evil for evil. Overcome evil with good. How can we be little Christ-like ones and keep going to church discouraged and driven by life? And not be convicted. I'm not being mean right now. Don't get condemned by this. Be challenged by this. If something changes in my understanding and my perspective can change. See, if I'm not careful, I'm going to let things matter more than what matters most. And all of a sudden, the way life's unfolding is deciding who I am and how I am. And now I'm tricked into just praying to God to change all that so I'm better instead of changing me. Come on, if I get done wrong in life and I live done wrong, I'm letting that matter more than what I'm here for. I'm here to overcome evil with good, not become a product of evil. I'm not here to just be pushed over by injustice, injustice. I'm done wrong, now I'm going to live done wrong, feel sorry for myself, and the only friends I have are the people that sympathize. I'm following Jesus. I wish you'd come with me with all your heart. Because see, you can't do a man wrong that gave up his life that he might live for him. I'm not going to repay evil for evil, and I'm not going to down talk you. I'm not going to backbite you. I'm not going to badmouth you. I'm going to do what my king did. And he said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. What's he saying? If they really knew the truth, they wouldn't be living what they're living. If they saw me for who I am, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. Father, forgive them. They're blind and deceived. They don't even know what they're doing. You know how many people in your life have simply been trained by life? Trained by the way that seemeth right to a man that are conformed to the world and are manifesting the world? And all they have is their story and their issues, the justification for why their life looks the way they do, and a justification for why they feel the way they feel? Oh, I got a way better story. See, when you see me, you can't tell my dad was an alcoholic my whole life. You can't tell my mama was sick and died that I changed her diapers and carried her to bed. You can't tell my kids ran off and did some crazy things. You can't tell I just saw my brother a little over a year ago. You can't see none of that when you look at me. Because none of that has a thing to do with who I am. Are you with me? I don't need no reason and justification for not looking like Jesus when I got every reason to follow him. How does my dad's choices, how's my mom being sick, how's my brother falling over dead change why I'm here? If the only reason I'm coming to God is to make sure all those things work the way I am, then I'm a confused, baffled man that goes to church. And my countenance is showing my trials. And my attitude is representing my story. And in time, if you don't have a greater revelation, now you're even wondering where God is. And when we sing he's good, you're wondering how. And all of a sudden, we don't even realize we've been tricked into God owing us instead of creating us. And the fall of man and the pride of life and human wisdom has swallowed us up. And all of a sudden, we even feel tense towards God, angry towards God, judgmental towards God. And all of a sudden, he has to be the problem for my life to look like this. It's amazing, then, why did he send his son while we were all yet sinners? I think he's desperately crying out saying, hey, I'm good. I'm not the problem here. It's you and the way you're thinking. You were born into Adam. Get born again. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Come out of darkness into the light. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Follow me. Not accuse me. Come on, I got enough scripture on this thing. I ain't talking in riddles right now. You ain't sitting there going, now what's he trying to say? Got too much on this thing.